They had just gone through a serious crisis over slavery, the Compromise of 1850, which included the admission of California as a free state and the very strong fugitive slave law, which was quite controversial. Because of that, there was a general intention to avoid serious issues during that time. So when Pierce was elected and ran for president in 1852, there was very few issues on the agenda that were discussed in the during the campaign. It was mostly a personality contest between Pierce and his opponent, Winfield Scott.
Now, at this same time, Franklin Pierce himself is dealing with a very large personal loss as he comes to Washington.
Right. His last surviving child, Benny, was killed in a train wreck on January 6th, 1853, in Andover, Massachusetts. Pierce and his wife were also on the train at the time, and so they saw witnessed Benny's death in the accident. That was a terrible blow to the Pierces. He was 11 and a half, and they lost two previous children, so he was the last of their children. There was no inaugural ball because of the fact that they were in a state of mourning. The Fillmores, who were leaving office, Mrs. Fillmore was very ill and too ill to travel, so meant that there was no preparation made to make the White House for the new president. In fact, after shaking many hands at a reception at the White House after the inauguration, Pierce and his secretary walked upstairs to the family quarters and found the place a mess and ended up having to sleep on the floor, basically.
Pierce's inauguration was unique in a number of ways. First, the oath of office that the president takes usually starts with, "I do solemnly swear." And he said, "I do solemnly affirm." Why the word change?
I don't know. It's funny because at the time, even though he was the 14th president, the first one to affirm rather than swear, the papers at the time didn't make any mention of it. They mentioned it, but they didn't make any comment on why he did it. And I was not able to find any letters or any papers in which he addressed the issue, explained what he was thinking. My sense is it could have been a religious situation where he refused to use the word swear. It could have been this myth that Pierce tried to perpetuate about himself, that he was a very humble man, and that this may have been his attempt to say, "I'll do my best, but I'm not swearing to it."
And Pierce is, so far anyway, the only president to recite his inaugural speech from memory. No
That's
notes
right.
in front
yeah.
of him?
That's right. He had notes at his side, but he didn't use them. He gave a very strong inaugural address, one that was praised by the newspapers at the time.
Now, what was his message as he began his presidency? And then how well was he able or not able to live up to that message as president?
Well, the inaugural included several points. One was that he believed in expansion. He believed the country needed to expand. He said he would do it entirely in a peaceful way, not trying to get into conflicts with any other nations, but that expansion and the size of the country needed to grow. At the same time, he also spoke about domestic matters, and in domestic matters, he stated very much the Jacksonian democratic principle. The states would deal with the domestic matters, not the national government. This was another way of saying that the states that had slavery could keep it, and the states that didn't, that was their right to decide not to have slavery. So he didn't want to make this a national issue. Nothing that happened during his administration would upset the issue of slavery. And, of course, that was where he failed, because in his administration, the Kansas-Nebraska Bill was passed by Congress with his endorsement, and it opened up the Pandora's box of slavery in the territories.